side of the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas with mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain bastards as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All righty, you are listening at the beginning of the line on Long Island's only automotive talk show, Motor Mouth Radio, with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, wingman and XO,
yeah, just me, the
Joe
other guy,
D.
The wingman, the executive officer, the guy that keeps holding up stuff and waving at you when
first
something goes
in
wrong.
Charge, yes, my moral compass of such in the studio, and our guest who we're playing.
We got a full house today, huh?
Bill Carberry and his grandsons, Tristan and Mason, today, and of course we're playing the Radiators. Who else would you play? Well, you know, it's kind of hard to think of. Who do you play when Bill's
why
here?
Why is like that, Ray?
Tale of the music. Well, because Bill is from Kappa Radiator in Farmingdale. Now, Bill, you've been in business a long time out there, right?
36 years, yeah.
That's a long time.
Wow.
Very good. That in itself is, that longevity is fantastic. You know, it shows you're doing the right thing without a doubt.
I guess so.
Yeah.
They keep coming in.
Absolutely. Now, You got a company move coming up, right? Are you doing some stuff?
Yeah, I've been working on moving into a larger building right down the block. Been working on the deal for quite a while, and it's been a roller coaster ride, a lot of highs and lows, and just keeps getting closer and closer.
Right.
So I'm hoping in the next month or so I should be in that new building.
So you'll be out of the current building altogether.
Correct.
I noticed something when I came down to pick up that gas tank from you last week with Mike. I was showing him the picture you have of your shop, which I think was fantastic. Because I said to him, I said, independent of that, I was across the street, because I work at that shop now part-time. And I said, boy, I came back from 7-Eleven. I said, we have enough cars in this shop to line them up. And I thought, oh, just like Bill did. You know, and they say, right, imitation is a sincere form of flattery.
Yep.
So I showed Mike that picture, and I said, I looked at it a little closer. I said, the shop's identical. There's an office to the right, and then three bays. I'm like, it's even the same architecture. It's like,
yeah.
So we may have that live on in perpetuity. We may keep your legend alive.
Okay.
At least where that's concerned.
All right.
And of course, we'll call you to bring a car down and throw one of yours.
Sure, that's how I put that photo of the shop together. I brought down friends and employees and relatives and just got that whole picture going to promote the old car business.
Excellent. And you've had that picture for quite a long time as well.
Yeah, I think it's about 15 years ago now I took that picture.
Yeah. Nice. Well, now, you know, I was just, I thought of something this morning. I was reading Hot Rod Magazine. And, of course, we know where I was reading it, right? In the bathroom.
Yeah.
And now they've gone to this whole, the bent of the, they're covering a lot of cars that are more resto mod stuff, which is fine. I mean, that's my world. But a lot of cars that are like almost track cars, like stupid horsepower in these cars. You know, 800 to 1,000 horsepower engines. And competition autocross suspensions. I mean, real top level stuff. And I'm thinking, my God, this hobby is changing again. Now, guys, I guess with the big bucks, that's what they're building, and they're going to some of the big builders to do this. What are your thoughts about that? Have you seen that encroaching into the work that you do at your shop? Or
I do get some people that kind of ask for stuff like that in their cars, but most of the time, I talk them out of it, because if you're talking about a regular, everyday driver you want to have fun with, mm-hmm. you don't need all that stuff.
Right.
I even talk guys out of rear disc brakes half the time because a lot of them want to do it just for the look.
Right.
Not even for the function.
Get those covers that go over the drum brake. The
yeah. yeah.
I hate those.
Exactly. But I get customers that, they read about everything and then they ask, well, what about this and that and how much? And as soon as you hit them with the how much, they usually back off.
Yeah. Well, rear disc brakes have gotten a lot cheaper. Now, I mean, there's a lot of kits you can use. I didn't do disc brakes on my own car. I stayed with drums. And I thought if I ever did it, I'm going to do it with OEM stuff. I'll get parts that I can get out of a junkyard. So I can service it. You don't have to worry about, that manufacturer being in business however many years later when you need a part, right?
Yeah, that's what happens. Some of this stuff is all of a sudden maybe 5 years or 10 years down the road. Next thing you know, they're out of business. And meanwhile, hopefully for the foreseeable future, the car companies will be around.
Or what's happening.
And junkyards.
Yeah. I mean, or what happens with them is, oh, no, we discontinued that. Now we're on to another series. You need to buy our new kit. I'm like, oh, cripe. All right. Well, what we're going to do now is we're gonna do what we do on Motor Mouth Radio. We're going to go to the phones, and we're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Joe. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Brock, how are you? You're
What's
on, with,
on
with Bill and his grandsons from Kappa Radiator.
Hey, fantastic. I got a question for Bill, talking about radiators. The question comes up when you're doing a restoration or you're in a high heat area like we are out here. Is it preferable to go with an aluminum radiator or is it better to stick with the copper and why? What do you suggest?
I've been asked this question about 10,000 times, I would say.
Exactly.
This week.
Yeah, probably. It all depends on your application. You know, the kind of horsepower you have, if you have air conditioning, what kind of driving you do with the car, how original you're trying to stay with the car. There's so many different ways of going with it that there's really no blanket answer. I actually wrote a two-page letter to that to answer that question. And there is no definite answer until you get down to the particulars of what you're building.
Right. Is there any advantage with the aluminum outside of what you're building over the copper?
Well, aluminum is lighter, less weight. It's usually a lot less expensive just because the raw material of aluminum
Can
is
I
less
jump
expensive.
In?
Sure.
Also, like you've seen, a lot of it's expensive, less expensive because of where it comes from.
True. You can get aluminum radiators that are imported, very, very inexpensive. You can get aluminum radiators made here in the country. More money, definitely better quality. Also depends on the appearance you want. If you're going all high-tech and billet and show under the hood, then you might want aluminum just for the looks. If you're trying to keep everything more original looking, then you go with the copper brass radiator. So it looks original, but I can build the core that puts out anywhere from 20 to 60% better cooling with your same tanks and brackets, so it looks original.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I got another question for you. When you mentioned about import radiators with the aluminum, the question comes up is that a lot of these inexpensive radiators are put together with epoxy as opposed to being welded, right? Is there any truth to the story that the epoxy is less efficient than the welded, the aluminum welded?
Well, that's something that's put out there by a lot of people that try to tear down Griffin radiator. Griffin uses epoxy on their radiators after they weld it. They weld the radiators together, then they put in the epoxy as an extra. And Griffin's been doing that for many, many years, and everyone else tries to tear them down on that, but it's false information.
Okay.
So it really makes no difference one way or the other as far as the cooling capabilities or the efficiency of the radiator itself.
Yeah, no, well, the epoxy doesn't hurt the radiator at all. That just adds to the longevity. Copper brass does disperse heat a little bit better than aluminum, but with aluminum, you can use larger tubes and thinner material. So because of that, it will cool off better than the copper brass. So there's pros and cons, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
I can tell you this, Bronk. I did use Bill to rebuild my radiator for my Pontiac, and he did just what he said, put in bigger tubes and, like, I tell people this all the time because I always preach it, and I try to get a, I want to have a number, but I don't have it, so I just say a crap load more fins. I kind of say a little different usually, and I don't know how many more fins that are in there. Bill, maybe you can clarify that, but I know you explained to me that is where your heat transfer takes place, through those fins. The tubes move the water, but the fins dissipate the heat, and it does. It works great. Looks fantastic.
Yeah, I had the president of the local Oldsmobile Club complain to me that now he doesn't get enough heat out of the car because the engine runs too cool.
Wow.
And that's with a copper brass radiator.
Right, right.
Something I also heard, talking to different guys out here, with the aluminum, it does anticipate the heat as efficiently as the copper. So what they're doing out here is that they're cutting back on the antifreeze and adding more water, right, to anticipate the heat better. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, water will transfer the heat better than antifreeze, but if you... You know, you're in an area where you don't have to worry about freeze points, so that's fine. You could run 20, 30, 40% antifreeze, and you're fine. Around here, even if the car's garage, you got to worry about it freezing.
Right.
But if you thin out the antifreeze with more water, it will transfer the heat better.
And you get better cooling capabilities. That's
yeah.
Cool also.
Yeah, the heat travels out of it quicker. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, imagine antifreeze is like a thick oil, like gear oil. You wouldn't put gear oil in your crankcase. You know, you have all different viscosities.
Yeah, yeah, okay. If you're burning oil.
Yeah.
All right, there's another thing that we do out here, which when I speak to some of the guys back east, you know, we're in a 5,000 altitude, very dry, very low humidity, right, and with the bright sun. So the cars tend to run a lot hotter in the summertime than normal, especially the Chevys for some reason. What we're doing out here is putting in a 160 thermostat and drilling three 16ths holes around the perimeter of the thermostat to keep a water flow going. And we're finding out that it's, and I find it works for me too, is that the cars are tended to run a little bit cooler. Have you heard of that out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done that in certain cases. Also, that way you get water flow through the radiator immediately. And it'll if you do have a running hot problem, it'll just take a lot longer before it runs hot.
The other thing, Brock, that I did on good advice was bought a Robert Shaw full-flow thermostat. Mm-hmm. And this thing has windows in the side. It's really, you know, once it opens, it's open more than a traditional Stant-style thermostat. And again, I've been running it for a few years and have no problems.
I got a Stant thermostat.
60% more flow when the thermostat opens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I remember right. Maybe I got my numbers wrong.
Yeah, I think
remember. That's what I remember, something about that.
Yeah.
Also, with the high-performance racing thermostats, you can get the same amount of maximum flow when the thermostat opens.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a regular Stant thermostat in the engine that's in my car now. I've had that same thermostat in the previous two engines.
Wow, yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
It works.
The famous words, right?
Wise words.
Right?
Well, and that's also from a system that gets serviced and flushed and cleaned every systematic.
Well, that's the main thing, too.
Right.
Is that flushing the system out, is that people don't realize that you do build up contaminants in there. And another thing, which a lot of people never do, is wash out the core of the radiator. When they're washing the car, take the garden hose.
Yeah.
And clean it, but you wash it from the engine compartment towards the grill, not the other way around.
Yeah, get the bugs out and whatnot.
I find it out here, you know, Bug City over here, you know?
Yeah.
When they get up into the mountains, you come back there, and it looks like the whole thing is just covered in these little tiny little bugger thingies there from all the trees.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So it does make a difference.
And one more thing that Bill had done for me, because I saw a friend have a problem with this, with a car that sat for a while, and he had... cast iron head, and aluminum intake, and the intake was rotting out at the water passages because antifreeze gets it's acidic and it'll start to eat aluminum. So Bill, you had drilled a well and put in a nickel. It's did
sacrificial anode.
The sacrificial
zinc anode.
The zinc anode. Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
that'll get eaten before the aluminum parts on the engine, and that thing is I guess you know it's cheaper to change and. A lot easier than changing an intake or a set of heads. So,
yeah. Right, you made a good point about antifreeze. When it sits too long, it starts to become corrosive, especially on aluminum.
Yeah.
And it's a good idea. I do my cars. They drive 10 out of the 12 months out here, which is a good thing.
Right? Great.
And storing it's, you know, 8 out of 12 months, you know, back east like we used to do.
Exactly.
Is that you flush that antifreeze out. It doesn't take much, costs you a couple bucks, but it keeps the integrity of the system on a much higher level and the efficiency is much higher.
That's right.
Now, what do you suggest on a car? Let's say a car, an East Coast car that sits. What should be the periodic maintenance of a flush of the antifreeze system?
Well, back in the day, it used to be every 2 years. If it's a car that's not being driven, you know, 10,000 miles a year like our toys, you can probably go 2 or 3 years. One thing I did on my own personal car and my Ford truck, I put Evans waterless coolant in there. And that's lifetime. You do not put any water in with it. It goes in straight. It's all pure chemical. And it's good for life. And it has a lot of other added benefits, too. So I put that in my 59 Ford about a year or so ago. And now I never have to remember about flushing it.
Right, right.
That makes sense. Now, they make a lot of additives for cooling systems. Anti-seal leak, stop leak, heat dissipating chemical. Do you agree with mechanics in a can, or is there any product out there that you could recommend and products that you feel should not be used?
I don't have any first-hand experience with anything like the water wetter stuff actually working. I know a lot of people that have gone out and tried it. The few that have gotten back to me reported a little bit of a help. But if you've got some mechanical issue, like your engine creating too much heat, your radiator not throwing off enough heat, these things might help you a little bit, but you got to get the mechanical stuff down first.
Yeah, that water wetters used to optimize a good system. And they claim maybe a 10-degree. I've used it in the past, and I got about a 10-degree difference on a healthy system. But yeah, the other side, I mean, you can go to any auto parts store, and for years, Bill, since we're kids in Bronx.
Shelves and shelves of the stuff.
Yeah, since I think they built the first store out of twigs when Bronk was young. You can find shelves. I know. Bars leak and what were some of the other ones that were popular
water
back
in pump the, lubricant.
Yeah. Prestone had water pump lubricant. Yeah.
Silver Seal,
of course. Oh, yeah, it was a big cottage industry, and it's still out there. The stuff is still there.
For anyone that doesn't want
to
fix the
radiator. Way back, just when I started back in the late 50s, was that when you had a radiator leak, you used black pepper and an egg yolk.
Right.
And you threw it into your system. And it worked.
Yeah. I prefer it on my plate with the coffee. You know, I'd rather.
Yeah.
Back when I was a kid, one time I used oatmeal.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it worked.
I never heard of that one. That's good.
Yeah.
I got another question for you. They make these racing pumps, high volume water pumps. Now, is that efficient when you're using a stock radiator, or should you change to a larger tube radiator when you're going with a high-efficiency water pump?
Well, I'm not all that sold on the high-efficiency water pumps, because a stock water pump will pump a lot of coolant. And then also you get into the situation of maybe pumping the coolant too fast through the radiator. If it goes through too fast, it doesn't have time to dissipate the heat. But then if, along with that, you put in a radiator, a larger capacity with bigger tubes or whatever, and you're flowing more, then, you're going to throw off a lot more heat because you have a high-capacity pump throwing coolant through a high-capacity radiator, and then it has time to throw off the heat while it's in the radiator.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you got to match the pump, the cooling system, with the engine application in order to get maximum efficiency.
Yeah, Brock, I'll tell you, I just did this in my own car last year because of my transmission. I had to change my water pump. I put a 5-speed in the car, and at highway speeds, I'm like 2,000 RPM. It's a Pontiac. It wants, it's not used to being at that low RPM. And my temperature was higher. And I said, I think the water pump isn't spinning fast enough. And there's billet pulleys you can get that are real expensive. It wasn't easy to change it from the outside. So I put a high volume aluminum impeller, a billet impeller water pump in the car, which they claim will move more water at idle than the stock one does at 3,000 RPM. And I did see my temperature came down. It did, because now I'm spinning it slower. So, again, it's matching the components to the system. And, you need to either find someone who can help you with that or experiment.
Right.
You hit it right on the head. Finding someone who's knowledgeable. Because you see a lot of these guys, they read, this is great, and they'll just throw one part in, not realizing, and it goes to any system, whether it's intake, exhaust, whatever the case may be, is that they don't match the system for efficiency. In a lot of cases, they do more damage than good by putting in a performance part that doesn't work with the system that they have.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm going to run because speaking of stuff, I'm going to work on my motorcycle.
All right.
Putting LEDs in. So I am going to go play with that today.
Excellent.
And I just want to touch base and say, have a great weekend, guys, and thank you for the information.
Okay, Bronk. Thanks a lot.
Good talking to you, Bronk.
Talk to you soon.
Have a good day.
Take care, Bill. Bye.
All righty. We are going to take a quick break. We're, of course, playing the radiators to commemorate Bill's visit here. But today is also a day in rock history. One of my, right after Joe D, my favorite bass player in the world is Mel Shacker from Grand Funk Railroad. Today is his birthday. Mel is 68 today. So let's do a little tribute to Mel Shacker, and then we'll come back with more Motormouth Radio in just about a minute.
What are all these birds doing here at the radio station?
They're just tweeting.
They're kind of loud.
They'll stop soon. They're about to hit 140 characters.
Huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm retweeting that.
Oh no, not again.
You gotta like that.
That tweeter just tweeted all over the equipment.
Do you, or do you not, know about the bird?
Join the conversation on Twitter. Find us at 903-WHPC.
I'm not cleaning that up.
Hey, what's your big idea?
That's 903-WHPC on Twitter. From the voice of NASA Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by the Oak Ridge Boys, an American country and gospel quartet coming to the NYCB Theater at Westbury on Thursday, May 17th at 8 p.m. More information can be found online at thetheateratwestbury.com.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the motor mouth thing.
Oh, yeah, we're making moves on Motor Mouth Radio today with Bill Carberry in the studio with Tristan and Mason. Give us a call, 516-572-7440. Check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com, or any of the other social media platforms like Faccia Brutta Book, or you can get us on Twitter. We're on Instagram at @real_MotormouthRadio and see what we're up to, because we do. Joe, I know you've been posting some stuff.
Yeah.
You've been getting a high hand from the.
I've been getting a certain finger. It is the thumb. Yeah. Faccia Brutta Book. Is that the one that comes out of Brooklyn?
That's ours. Yeah, that's the one that we subscribe to. Yeah, because we're so good looking for radio. You know.
That's why we're on radio, guys. Because let's face it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be looking at our middle aged mugs.
Speaking of that, Bill, what do you do in terms of social media for your business? I don't know. Are you involved in any degree?
I really don't do Facebook all that much.
Okay.
I should, but I generally don't have the time for it. It's something I really should get more into. I know a lot of businesses do it. I just haven't had the time to do it, and I'm not much of a Facebook guy myself.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook. Joe is, but I started using Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is cool because you can go in the shop, take a picture of something, and then just put a comment on it, and boom, send it out, and everybody gets to see it. And some guys like Ben Bright at Old Soul Speed and Custom. He uses Instagram primarily. He's thousands of pictures up there of this, and he's a custom metal shop. So you start look, and then the problem is you start looking at his pictures, and like an hour went by. It's like when you first found the internet, and you're like, oh my word, this guy is doing some cool stuff. Great way to convey information. The other way to convey information is going to the phones, which we'll do now, and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey guys, how you doing? It's Cliff.
Oh, Cliff, how are you?
What's going on,
good,
man?
Good. Faccia Brutta is very funny. I used to have a guy I work with. We used to call him Faccia Brutta.
I'm glad we amuse you, Cliff, because, you know.
Are you amuse me?
Yeah, exactly.
Do I amuse you like a clown, maybe?
Yes. Right. I have two things I'd like to thank. First of all, thank Bill, because I look forward to his calendar of events every year.
Uh-huh.
That he puts out.
You're welcome.
And I think that's great. And I think there's a lot of guys he probably doesn't know, but we're all kind of looking forward over, you know, for the season to see. I know it's a lot of work he must put in to get all those dates.
There's a lot of hours that goes into that. And then, of course, as soon as I put it out, people say, oh, no, this is wrong. That's wrong. Or you forgot this or you forgot that. But we do the best we can.
Hey, it's great. And it helps a lot of guys. And you get to see a lot more shows you might not know about. And, you know, but I got a question. I guess it could be for all three of you. Ray, I know you know Paulie Windows got the 73 Vet.
Yes, beautiful car.
Quick question, great car. Everything's really nice about it. The guy that we got it from said that right prior to he put one of those, I think it was like the Mallory pointless ignition.
High fire, probably.
Yeah, something like that, and the car runs great. But now, since that ignition was put in, gets a little bit of pre-ignition when you shut it off sometimes. Is that timing, or you have any suggestions, or
did the idle come up at all?
You know, it's a good question. I will check that.
Usually, pre-ignition is actually
too high run on.
Yeah, typically you look at
high idle.
Yeah, high idle, or you know, timing can be a factor in it as well. You got to look at all the basics. And just systematically go through it and see what the heck is going on. I mean, back in the day, I'm going back like in the 80s, there were a lot of run-on problems with cars. Caddies, remember, you'd shut the car off and walk away and the car would run for another 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I think,
right?
I used to get that a lot when it was hot out.
Yeah.
Real hot, yeah.
Well, that's part of it.
This seems to have just only appeared after the pointless, the ignition without the points were put in. Although I think it was probably one of those module boxes.
Did you just recheck the timing after you did it?
No, we bought the car like that, so we're going to start getting into it. I just figured I'd give you a call and see what your thoughts were.
It seems like
it didn't have it prior to that.
What I found is I did a Petronix in a GTO this past fall, and the timing actually bumped up a couple, 3 degrees. I mean, you know, I did not even touch the distributor as far as moving it.
Yeah.
I mean, just installing it. Maybe it's the physical position of the pickup on the breaker plate. You know what I mean? But I picked up about 3 degrees, 3-4 degrees, which is, you know, enough to maybe bump up the idle a couple of hundred RPM.
Not a couple of
hundred necessarily, but enough to cause stuff like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, the other thing I was going to say, Cliff, is the manufacturer. They offer great resources, and what I found is the customer service areas have gotten much better. Thank you, Joe. In all areas in the last number of years. So contact Mallory and say, hey, bought this car. This is the condition. They may have an FAQ on their site that you could look at and see if they have. You know, start with the. You know, you could do that
start
as well.
With the source.
Yeah.
Great. I was figuring maybe go to the timing first, and then if timing's good, maybe lower the idle down a little bit.
Check the timing.
Cars a stick, so you can probably get away with a little bit lower idle anyway.
What year is this thing?
It's a 73.
Okay.
Basically stock. I don't know what they call it, the L48. I don't know. Was it L48 and 73? I'm not even sure.
The 48 was the base model, and the 82
was
the
base model, but it's a stick, so I guess you could probably get away with
it. Does it have a fast idle solenoid? A lot of those cars had a fast idle solenoid because they idle them so low. And when you shut the car off, that thing used to just drop back and shut the throttle a little more.
Okay.
You know, is that functional? Or, again, is that, you might have to put the timing, the timing and the idle right on the money.
Got you.
Yeah. Also, make sure you got good premium gas in there, too. The octane of gas can do it.
Okie doke.
Right.
We'll go for those three first, and like I said, I'll look even at Mallory's site.
And report back and let us know how that goes, Cliff.
We'll let you know. Thank you, fellas. And again, thank you for that calendar.
You're welcome.
All right, Cliff. We'll catch you soon. Thanks. All right. Hey, you know, speaking of carburetors, I learned something. I've been rebuilding carburetors for, I don't know, 45 years, and I just learned something. I was reading, a friend gave me we swap magazines, and some of them are old, some of them from the 80s, some are from I went to Brooklyn and picked up the 1,000 magazines out of the 70s 2 weeks ago. But I'm looking at an old Corvette magazine, and it was from the, I guess, 79, and they did a whole thing on rebuilding the WCFB carburetors that were on the dual quads on the early Corvettes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have one of those, in the family on a car. It's on the white Nomad, has a WCFB,
right.
And it's heavy. And I knew it was a Weber, and I never really knew exactly what the letters stood for. And in this article, they said it stands for Weber Cast Base 4-Barrel, WCFB. I was like,
nice.
Son of a biscuit, look at that. No one, just so simple.
That's like the AFB, aluminum 4-barrel.
And AVS is an air valve secondary. some of the acronyms make sense, but until you know it, you don't know it.
Now, quadrajet. Now, I would expect to see some type of turbine sticking out of that thing, but no.
Yeah, well, four. Let's go back to the phones, Bill. You're lighting them up.
Out there.
Let's see who's on the line. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. Hello, Joey D. Hello, guest. This is Howie. How you guys doing?
It's the big man.
Hey,
what's up, Howie?
Thank you. How you guys doing?
Well, we're here. How bad could it be?
Right.
What you up to?
You're in your element.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, we're doing the radio. We do this every week, so this is our element, yeah. Except we're not in a Honda. We're not, if that's what you mean. No, we're not driving around in a boxy Honda thing. But,
no, but tell us what you're... not that bad. I got a friend of mine that has one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
So what's up, Howie?
Well, I was planning on going to the Bald Hill show, but I recently twisted my knee, so I'm kind of resting it right now.
Oh, okay.
You gimping? You got a cane? You got crutches? What you got?
I got nothing so far, you know, but man, you know, at work I got an MRI machine that I might be testing on Monday.
Nah. I'm sure it worked. You know, you could have also gone to the Long Island Mopars event today. Rich sent out an email, and it kicked off at 11 a.m. They're doing it already. They're in full swing at the Hot Rod Burger King in Bethpage. So, yeah, that was...
What good town is this?
Bethpage.
Bethpage.
Yeah, doing that today. Weather, they said, you know, you said weather, it was weather permitting now. He sent this out last night, said weather's good. We're meeting at 11. So they've kicked off today. So, I mean, let's face it, we all have cabin fever. We want to all get out.
That's got to be the first thing at Bethpage Burger King in a long time.
The club meets there. They do meet there occasionally through the year. I think they'll try a couple of events.
All right.
Because the parking lot's big enough, they can, and they started getting a big, you know, big crowd.
I think right next door is the AutoZone. And the Corvette guys meet there on Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's the thing about Long Island. Somebody's meeting up someplace every day.
All the time, right.
Every day. And this weekend we thought it was going to be a snow and a washout, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, we ended up being doing well.
I was grateful for that, you know.
Right, exactly.
Standing outside and is not...
You know, we're about probably 6 weeks away with the weather is 6 weeks behind us, you know, kind of thing.
Well, we're hoping. But what are you going to do?
If I ever meet that groundhog, let me tell you
something.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. You
we're
going to
have a little chat, you know?
But no, that's all. I just wanted to give a quick hello and that the season's starting. I got, you know, I said hello to Bill Carberry yesterday. Got 100-plus flyers.
You mean this guy standing next to me here?
He's still recovering, yeah. I see that he's got the twitch. I know. I didn't know what it was from. Now I do. Now we got it now, yeah.
I was already out the door, and it was locked, and there comes Howie knocking on the door for calendars.
Son of a gun. And I was talking about air conditioning, you know, to the air conditioning mavens, you know.
Well, there you go.
On a chilly day, no less.
Yeah. All right, Howie.
Hey, Phil. Have a great day, and we're promoting the Vet Dog Run right next week, right?
We're going to talk about that next, Howie, right after we come back from our break.
All right. Well, hey, happy motoring, and I'll be there next week.
All right. See you then.
Cool.
Talk to you soon, Howie.
Hope your neck feels better.
All right. Thanks, bye. That was Howie, of course, checking in. And we do have to get to the vet dogs thing.
Yeah, definitely we have to talk about that.
We absolutely. So let's take another quick break. We'll go back to the Radiators this time for more of their... this is a New Orleans band, and you know, the CD came out in 89. I think I heard them on... maybe it was NEW at the time when they were still playing rock. Because I used to break some new bands. And I'm like, hey, these guys sound pretty cool. You know, they got a nice thing, and I bought the CD. They still do some shows. I think the band's changed around. Not really... I think they're more in the South, but let's go. Let's see what they got to say. A song about an anaconda. They have a song named Squeeze Me. So let's see how this from the Radiators. And we'll be back in a minute.
Squeeze Me.
Keep it where you got it.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music. And I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. station. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mounts help you out at 516-572-7440.
I want to know what's going to happen in this next segment here on Motor Mouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Joe D, and with Bill Carberry, Tristan, and Mason. And we're going to talk about the vet dogs. If you want to get in on this, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440 or check us out on social media, where we will definitely get back to you and promise to, well, we maybe promise to play nice. I don't know. So, Bill.
When did that change?
I don't know. Vet Dogs, this event has been going on for how many years? The 12th annual, I see. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this will be the 12th show. The first time we did it, we had about a dozen, 15 cars, and we went out to Montauk Point and had lunch. Mm-hmm. And I tried to tie in a way to raise some money for a friend of mine that was fighting cancer.
Right.
And I think we raised a few $100, maybe not even $1,000. And then we said, hey, this thing works. So the next year we did it for another charity. Next year we did it for another individual who didn't want to accept the money. I don't know why. So the following year we did it for an organization that we knew would not have a problem accepting the money.
Mm-hmm.
And a club member who was in the FBI, he knew about vet dogs, and he said, well, why don't you check these guys out? And we checked them out, and they have a very, very low percentage of overhead, meaning the majority of the money that they raise goes to what it's supposed to go to.
Which is important.
Placing a vet dog with an injured veteran.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a great cause. And, you know, we see the TV commercials, we see things in media all over the place, and you realize that, yeah, service dogs, I wonder if there's a stat. I think, just because of the amount of wounded soldiers we have that have returned, that number has grown. How many are in use across the country? But it is a great thing. It really is.
Unfortunately, it's not cheap though. It costs about $50,000-$60,000 to get a dog, train him or her, and then they place the dog to a particular veteran's needs, depending on what the issue is with that veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fly the vet in, train the vet with the dog for a week. That's the first time the vet even meets the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Then they fly the dog and the vet home, and they provide lifetime veterinary care for the dog. And when that dog is no longer able to help, either due to age or whatever, if the veteran still needs an assistance dog, they will set him up with another one.
Yeah.
And it's all privately funded through donations and fundraisers.
Joe, I think you said you spent about $50,000-$60,000 on those Alpo cannoli bits for your dog, right? I think.
Yeah, she
just
loves
those
them.
Treats, all right?
Yeah, they. You know, I never knew a dog could actually like cannolis, but then again, there was that one on the counter that time. Then all of a sudden, I was like, Bella, look at that.
Was the one on the counter.
There,
yeah.
It was, is the key word there.
The dog's holding up the coffee cup. Hey, fill me up here. Come here. We need a little shot. Yeah.
Yeah, dog's on caffeine. Ooh.
Oof, yeah, right. Now let's go for a walk. Come on.
Oof, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the heck with that. My daughter almost took it for a ride.
Yeah.
Got the saddle and everything.
Yeah, right. And just like any event, Bill, you know, in years past, I've been down at your start event to see what's going on, and it is a beehive of activity. You guys have all the tables set up. You're usually fighting the wind, you know, with the flyers and the stuff, and it's usually cold. But not always.
Yeah, we've had a few nice times, and one time, I think two or three years ago, we had 40, 50 mile an hour winds. The
Yikes.
Temperature was definitely well below freezing.
And people in the convertibles must have loved.
Well, there's always the guy that shows up with a Cobra or a tea bucket, you know, and you know that, oh my God, that's going to be
But even with that bad weather, and when I pulled out of my driveway that year, I had big snowflakes coming down on my car.
Yeah.
And we still had 30 or 40 classic cars that year.
Mm-hmm.
Right now for this event, we have about 120 cars pre-registered.
Nice.
We have about 180 people already signed up for the luncheon. And we're setting some records on raising money for vet dogs.
Fantastic.
It's a great thing.
That's great.
That is good. That's great. And, you know, to think about doing that, you know, a guy who's running a business, a thriving business.
Right. And in the middle of all this, he's doing this stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, you got employees and you got family. Look, you got grandkids. You got all sorts of stuff going on like most of us do. And you still get to pull it off, which hats off to you, Bill, because you do a great job with it. And you know that, but I do know, I will say also that I've learned this from different service groups I've been a part in. You know, if you need someone to do something, you don't ask the guy sitting there who's twiddling this. You ask the guy who's got five other things to do. And this was explained to me one year. I said, why did you ask me? They said, because we know that you'll shoehorn it in on a plate. I'm like, oh, damn, you're right.
There are some, yeah. Which shows you should be doing more twiddling.
I guess so, yeah.
You know?
I don't have any time right now. I'm pretty packed up.
I find that chin rubbing is like, oh, you're thinking? Yeah, let me leave you alone.
Oh, right.
That works for me. That, have a book in front of you or a computer screen and maybe some type of calculator or something. I'm busy figuring this out. Meanwhile, you're figuring out what to order.
Yeah, you're right. For lunch. Like yeah. So, Bill, you're driving your own 59 Ford. You've had that car for how long now?
I got that car in 1978.
Yeah, that's right about when I got my Pontiac, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we do keep our stuff for a long time, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
But, I know you've gone through many iterations, body off, just a few years ago.
Yeah, about eight years ago, I actually changed the chassis on it.
Is that long ago?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it was like three or four.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And I got it. I started on it in mid-January, and I got it back together and running about a week or two before this car cruise.
Yeah.
And I led the way out to Orient Point with it.
Yep.
That's why I kind of remember you talking about thrashing to get it done.
Yeah.
A lot of late nights, but I got it done.
See, but the good thing about having a car for so long is you get to know every nut and bolt, you know, and you remember like
every noise.
You remember from the last time, like, all right, that was a trouble spot that I was going to fix and I never did. So now I know I'm going in with the torch or whatever. But you know, when you work on a customer's car, a car you've never seen, like I'm going through that now and you're like, you know, who did this? Who was in here last? You know, oh, the dealer? Oh my God. Yeah, I found broken bleeder screws on wheel cylinders last. The dealer had the car last. Like, oh, great. So they never told you that they broke your bleeder screws and sent you out the door, you know. So it's kind of like the Wild West. You go in with, almost like you go in with a blindfold, and it's like, okay, fix this car. Like, all right, well.
You got to figure out, A, what's wrong with it, and B, why that happened and what the last guy did.
Yeah.
We run into a lot of that at our shop.
And sometimes fixing what they broke is harder than doing the original. Most times it's harder than doing the original job.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So what's the balance of your business now between radiator work and repair work and whatnot?
I would say the classic car end of the business is at least 60% of the business.
Good.
Between fixing old cars, and we also sell classic car radiators out of state. We ship them all over the country.
Right.
So the old car stuff, as I call it, is at least 60% of my business.
Right.
And the regular everyday cars coming in, and then you have some industrial and gas station work too.
Mm-hmm.
But I much rather prefer working on the old stuff. Yeah. It's a lot more fun.
The coolest thing,
a lot more straight up.
The coolest thing I saw over at Bill's was a round heater core. I don't know what the heck that was out of.
Yeah, GM used them in the early 50s on a few different models. Yeah, they had a big round one that went under the seat, and it blew heat onto your feet and the back and the front. Or they had a round one in the dash, which at the time was the cheaper heater, but now that's a $425 heater to recore.
Yeah.
Whereas the square one might only be about $200.
You know,
probably harder to make.
This kind of ties into what Bronx said before. I came in on a restoration project, came into a thing where the car had a regular copper heater core, standard to Chevy, and the one that came back as a from a resto place is aluminum.
They're making them all aluminum now because they're cheaper, less weight, the raw material costs less, and they're making them all in China.
And like you said, I think you could expect maybe a little less heat out of that too, no?
I haven't experienced that.
Okay.
Most people are leery of them just because they want it to be more like the original.
It was actually thinner, too. It wasn't as fat as the copper
but
one.
But the core is a lot denser, just like I was saying before about the radiators. They pack in the tubes and fins so tight that the air has no choice but to pick up a ton of the heat as it goes through.
What I did do is I looked at the copper one and said, this one looks pretty good. I'm going to put this in the box the aluminum came in. We're going to save this just in case. And then, of course, I go to put the heater box on the firewall. It was a non-AC car. And the lower hose, the way that the tube comes out for the heater core on the aluminum one, was now bent at an angle that the original one wasn't. You can't rebend that. You can't. So I had to actually cut the heater box away so that it would clear. And so I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to the next level, but give me that black paint so I could touch it up.
Yeah, some of that is just in the manufacturing process they made. Or sometimes they just take two or three models that shouldn't be together that actually had separate part numbers for a reason.
For wider variety.
And
okay.
Then somebody along the lines who never worked on one of these says, oh, this will fit. It's just got the little extra bend. They can make it work.
Well, plus their CAD drawings don't go right to left. They go up and down. So that may be where the
that's part
also
of it.
Also, I've heard. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, believe me, yes, that could happen too. In many cases.
Right.
Now, the problem is everyone wants something a little less expensive, and the only way you get it less expensive is to make it cheaper.
Right.
And then you pay the price when you go to put it in.
Find some way to cut the cost, whether it's in the manufacturing process or make one or two less part numbers. I run into that from time to time, too, where certain things should not be consolidated, and they're not.
Right. You see it from your business with manufacturing. I've always said you get what you pay for. And, you do get what we pay for here on Motormouth Radio. Let me mention that we're going to get to our last break and our last Mel Shacker little ditty. But
okay.
You can listen to, here on WHBC, you get a whole range. You can listen to the Shades of Jazz. I've listened to this show. Saturdays at 7 p.m. I'm usually awake. Actually, last night I wasn't home from the shop yet. But it is a new time. Host Greg Bigelow presents a cool and sophisticated blend of rare grooves, familiar classics, and the best of today's modern jazz artists. Worth giving a listen if you want to get some cool jazz while you're at the shop.
We've got a great selection of different types of music and different subjects.
We do.
Yeah, I try to get it at the UD, and it's just cool. Or today,
now you will.
Yeah, from what I understand, we had Brench hanging out the window, stringing some type of dish that he constructed.
Nice.
It's going up against the solar panel, so
you make a Tokyo Rose. Hey, you listen, GI, let me tell you. Anyway, all right, let's get back one last blast from Mel Shacker and Grand Funk Railroad. We'll be back in a minute with more Motormouth Radio. Keep it where you got it.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Ocean. Piano, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Smile.
Are you telling the microphone to smile so you could take a picture of it?
Yeah. So, which side do you think is its good side?
It's just a microphone.
I know, it's a microphone. Perfect. I think I'll put the Lark filter on it.
Why did you take a picture of the microphone, and who cares what filter you're going to use?
You'd care if you followed 903 WHPC on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. Wait, I want to go viral. Take a picture of me. Get my good side and use that Lark filter.
Follow 903 WHPC on Instagram and join the conversation from the voice of Nassau Community College.
I said, get my good side. Delete that.
Ugh.
That's 903WHPC on Instagram from 90.3WHPC.
No sticker for you!
Oh, listen to those. That chunky bass. That's an Ampeg tube amp.
With a jazz bass with a big
jazz bass. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And maybe even a little fuzz pedal. But anyway, that was our...
Those speakers still have PTSD.
They're still blown. Yeah, that was our tribute to great Mel Shacker from Grand Funk, 68 years old today. Bill, you can still got a little bit of time to get to us, 516-572-7440. But we were talking about, on the break, kids and kids at car shows. You have some thoughts on that, so tell us, please.
Most of these car shows are all family events. They have things for the kids to do, trying to keep the kids involved with the hobby, because there's a lot of people talking about the younger generation. They're either not into cars at all, or they're into all the rice grinders out there, not the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s hot rods that we're used to, that me and Ray grew up with.
Mm-hmm. And Joe.
But, you got to get your kids involved. Get them away from the Kindle and the laptop and the boob tube and bring them out to a car show. I bring my grandsons out to cruise nights and car shows as much as I can.
Absolutely. How do you guys like those car shows, by the way? That's you.
They're pretty good.
Pretty good. What do you like most about the car shows?
The cool cars and the pretzels.
And the pretzels. I like the ice cream.
I was him.
Yeah, I always look for like the Mr. Softy guy, you know? How about you? What's your favorite thing?
Mostly the food and stuff.
Okay, good enough, fair enough. Hey, that's cool. Have you gotten to any of the swap meets? Any of the...
No, I haven't had them to any actual swap meets yet.
Okay.
I don't know if they would be too interested in that other than the food part.
Right.
But we go to as many car shows as we can. And we came here in the 59 today, and they like driving in the old cars, right?
Yeah.
In fact, Mason, last week we went to the Easter parade to hand out some of my calendars.
Mm-hmm.
Mason put on my club hat that was on the back deck of the car, and he stuck his head out the window like a little doggy. And what happened to my hat, Mason?
The hat blew away.
Oh,
went flying. Ooh. Oh,
but it was an accident, right?
Yeah, hey, that happens. That happens. I've lost a lot of stuff. No, I've lost stuff out of windows. But do they get to come down to the shop and see what's going on down there, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had Tristan at the shop one time sweeping up a little bit, and he made a little bit of money.
Okay.
As they both get older, they can come down and help with that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially once I'm in the bigger shop, there'll be a lot more to sweep up and clean.
Right, right.
But they mostly like just looking at the cars, walking around. Got a lot of pictures of them in front of different cars.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Very good. Like you said, you have to involve them. We don't do it necessarily to think the kids, okay, this is going to be the next group of have hot rodders or builders. Maybe they won't be. Maybe they'll do something else. But just to have them involved with their elders, it's like spend some time with grandpa or your mom, your dad, whoever, your uncles. That's how we did it. We had
to. Seeing and experiencing different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, last week at the Easter parade, you got peed on, right? There's a guy with a Dodge Aspen, and he's got a bulldog on the hood,
right.
And he pumps a little pedal, and it squirts out water.
I see him at Belmore at the cruise night every year.
Yep.
He makes great fun of sitting there and then, hitting people as they go by.
So you enjoyed that, too, besides the pretzel last week, right?
Yes.
That's good. You have a sick sensibility. I love that. You'll fit right in.
Yes. Definitely caught your person in training there, for sure.
That's cool. So, Bill, your calendar is wildly popular. People love it. We have one.
I think we can post it up.
Was that four pages?
Well, two pages are different information and ads and stuff. In fact, there's an ad for the Auto Museum on the back page, the Auto Museum school and class.
Mm-hmm.
And the front is just all different general information. And inside, there's dates of events from April all the way up to July.
Right.
And then somewhere in June, I come out with another one that goes from June or July all the way up to the end of the year to pie runs and stuff.
Is there a digital copy of that in existence?
It is on my website at caperadiator.com.
Okay.
Should go visit
Not sure which button you got to hit in there, but it is in there.
Okay.
And if not, you could always email me or call me or stop by the shop and pick up a hard copy.
Okay. Yeah, I'll see if we can get a copy of that up on our website. So
yeah, we could link up to it,
People can find it.
It's like a PDF file, so it's easy
to a PDF.
Right, right. Yeah it's pretty easy. Excellent. That's we'll definitely do that.
I always found, for the last few years, that's been my go-to document to see what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
I used to sit there and wait for Newsday to give you that Friday car section, but sometimes I'm just not a patient.
It's selective.
Yeah. Can we fit that in?
Yes, let's do this. Let's go to the phones and say, hi, you're all at the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing? Dog Boy Doug here from the UD.
Hey, Doug.
Boy, what's up?
What's happening?
How's it going, guys?
Good, very good.
I know it's at the end of the show. I just called to check in.
Good, good.
Say happy belated Easter and holidays to everybody.
Right. You got you got reception today, Doug? Can you hear us?
That antenna work or what?
Not as good as I expected, Joe, but I'm still, you know, I'm not as good wiring as you are, so we're still waiting for you.
Okay, I'll be down there. We'll have to figure out the right wavelength or something. Did you get Wrench in from out the window yet? Did you hang him out?
He's out cruising the shop truck there, the Camino, with the new wheels on it.
Oh yeah, that looks good. That was part of the projects from yesterday. We put 8-inch Corvette wheels on the Camino.
Oh nice,
looks
that's
good.
Yeah. With or without the center caps and trim rings.
Center caps and trim rings.
The whole Magilla. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, kind of gives it that cool superstock look if you leave the center caps and trim rings off. That's kind of tough looking too.
Yeah, but after what Doug went through getting them things lined up and whatnot, you gotta leave them on now.
Okay, good enough. Good enough.
All right.
Excellent. All right, Doug.
Thanks for the call, man.
All right, guys, just checking in. I see you showing on time. Good show, man. Good talking to you guys.
Always a pleasure, Doug.
I'll see you in a little bit,
man.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye. All righty. That was good to hear that.
Dartboard.
Good to hear that the reception problems are being worked on. Well,
yeah, I was afraid he was going to be... when he said he was out cruising the Camino, I think maybe he's stringing a wire behind them.
Oh, yeah, right, dragging it. Hey, Bill, something came up last week when I was with Mike. He mentioned one of the guys at the other shop has been going to Paramount Tools since he's like 12.
Okay.
Or something like that. And he raves about it. And I said, you know, I've heard about this place. I've never been there. Do you have any affiliation with, not affiliation, but association with them? Have you?
I get tools from them. They're right down the block from my shop.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When I'm in a pinch and they need something, I go right down there and get it. In fact, he even donated something for the car crews,
nice.
Too.
So, okay, good. So then this can be a plug for Paramount because it is now it's legit. Yeah. What are the types of... Like, what's his inventory like? What does he typically sell?
Anything a Snap-on or a Matco truck would have, he has that plus more.
But with the other brands, obviously.
Yeah, he's got, you know, high-end, good-quality stuff. He's got some of the cheaper stuff, but he's got a huge selection. Everything from creepers to floor jacks, jack stands, any kind of wrench you could imagine.
Good to know.
He's got a lot of good stuff there.
He's been there a long time, too.
As long as I can remember.
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah. I told Mike, I said, you know what, one day we're going to take a trip, want to come out. I said, I want to check this place out.
Yeah,
I
make a
so
tour
much.
Run. Yeah, not everything.
You ever hear
of
the expression, kid in a candy store?
Yes.
Oh,
you go
yeah.
in there, you're not going to want to leave.
Well, that's it. You know, we're going to Englishtown is this coming weekend.
Right.
So we'll be heading out there on Friday and you know, of course, kicking kitchen sinks and dining room chairs aside, you know, we'll be looking for some of those rare finds, you know, some tools and whatever things that we like
flea to markets
collect.
Flea market swap meets are always fun to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, it's good exercise. That's like my once-a-year walk if I get to go. Yeah.
Right. I know. Cool stuff. What's up for you this year, Bill? You doing any of the bigger... I know you're going to do Carlisle, correct?
Yeah, I'll be going to Spring Carlisle. A couple of the other ones I'm not doing anymore, the Chrysler and the Ford show. Because it seems like there's just not enough people walking around there buying stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be doing Spring Carlisle. I go to Fall Carlisle.
Uh-huh.
And I go to Hershey halfway. I do a little display there. Uh-huh. And then I walk around and enjoy myself.
Okay. Because of that, has the internet side of the business increased?
Mine hasn't increased as much as I would like. But I think that's where a lot of people are going to buy their stuff. And I also get a lot of people that call me up, say, yeah, I bought this and that on the internet, and it doesn't fit, it doesn't work. What do you have?
Right.
And then I'm able to sell them something that I know works because I do the installs, as mm-hmm. opposed to a place that all they do is sell parts, and
right.
they don't know one end of a wrench from the other.
That's where personal service makes a big difference.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's like you said, been there, you know,
done that, got the teeth marks on my left one.
Yep, to prove it, that's right. You know, that's the thing, when you do the installations, when you're in the trenches and you actually have to be the guy who's making this thing fit, and you see, hey, out of the box, it said it was a direct bolt-on, but you know what? There's no way.
Nothing is.
Yeah.
No.
That's why I prefer when I do stuff for my own vehicles, and I recommend this to other people too, as I'd rather take your part or my part that's original and either rebuild it, recondition it, paint it, and put the old part back on.
It's usually much better quality.
Yeah, and you know it's going to work, and you don't have the failure rate. And then there's the guys, of course, there's a car in the shop that everything is just billet. But you know what? That said, we're done. We got to get out of here because Kim is ready to do Thunder Road.
Billet and spill it. Let's go.
Let's go. So Motormouth Radio will be back next week. Bill, good luck with the Vet Dogs cruise.
Thank you. Maybe you can come down in the morning before you start the show.
Tristan Mason, thanks for coming in with us.
Yeah, good guess.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.